Chapter 1. It was quiet as the girls and I walked back toward the portal we'd come through, and I was still questioning what had just happened. It all seemed incredibly surreal. I possessed 3 small dragons now, and I'd just met a huge ancient dragon who spoke to me inside my head. Before a few weeks ago, I'd assumed dragons were things of the past, or at least they weren't anywhere near Asgard. By Odin, had I been wrong? I shook my head as I looked around at the 2 beautiful women beside me and the 3 small dragons that ran in front of us. Well, this wasn't where I had envisioned my life going, but I wasn't upset by any means. Now I just needed to figure out what I was going to do about the orders Nidhogg had given me. A giant dragon told me I was the last hope to save the dragons, and I needed to find the man who got them banished from Asgard in the first place. And that meant I needed to go to Helheim. I was used to being a warrior, but Helheim was totally different. I wasn't sure how I was supposed to travel there, since the world would drain me of all my joy, so we'd have to figure out some sort of spell to stop that from happening. Thankfully, I was lucky enough to have not one, but 2 beautiful sorceresses on my side. Caspir, the beautiful strawberry blonde, was part Valkyrie, and her powers were linked to dragons somehow. She'd told me I made her stronger somehow, and ever since we'd magically soul-bonded, I knew she was right. I could feel her power, and it was greater than ever. Asta, the sexy white-haired elf girl, had the ability to control and create weather, and her powers had also grown since she'd bonded with me as well. Now I was bound to 2 beautiful women for the rest of our lives, and together we were raising our 3 baby dragons. It was strange to think that just a few weeks ago I was nothing more than a warrior for Asgard. I hadn't seen my warband in several weeks, and I wasn't sure when I would see them again. It didn't really matter too much. I was a good warrior, and everyone knew that, but there were enough warriors in Asgard that I was sure I wouldn't be missed. I had a lot of other things to worry about, like the fate of the entire dragon species.
So, are we going to talk about this?
Kaas asked, and she looked at me and raised a perfectly sculpted eyebrow. Well, I'm not sure what we have to talk about, I shrugged.
The fact that we're going to have to go to Helheim to try and find some guy who got the dragons banished?
Asta asked with a smile. The elf girl was always too bubbly for her own good.
Do you know who they are talking about?
Maybe, I said with a shake of my head, but I'm not sure.
How are we supposed to get to Helheim anyways? Can't we take a portal? Well, yes, but we are going to have to figure out how to stay there. Yes,
Asta said with a small nod.
Helheim isn't a very forgiving place. Have you been there?
Kaas's eyes widened.
No.
Asta shook her head.
I have not, but I know of it. Everyone knows of it. Right.
The portal was just ahead now, and I stopped and called the dragons over to us. Blah, come here. The small blue dragon flew over to me and landed on my shoulders. He was nearly too big at this point, but he clung to me still, and I reached up and scratched him under his chin. Inga, the female red dragon we'd hatched from an egg, flew over to Asta to sit on her shoulder. The little girl dragon was quite fond of the elf girl, which made sense, considering Asta had been the one to name her. Ufe, Inga's male twin, made his way over to Kaas, and she leaned down, picked him up, and held him in her arms. He wasn't the most proficient flyer yet, but we didn't want him to lose his confidence, so Kaas helped him out every so often. Blah was the largest of the dragons, since he'd hatched before the twins, but he still wasn't of great size himself. In his short time, though, he'd learned to breathe fire, fly, and take on an opponent more than twice his size. The twins were working on their fighting skills as well, but all 3 of them were coming along nicely. Even the girls had become quite proficient with their blades. Kaas often wielded a large greatsword that her Valkyrie mother had left for her, but she also had the new blades she'd gotten from our trip to the dwarf world. The girls had enchanted some metal for the small man in exchange for some weapons. So Kaas received a sword, while Asta received double daggers. The weapons were enchanted and specifically designed for each of the girls. I'd received a sword as well, one that I could summon out of dragonfire so it never became lost. It also had the ability to change length depending on my needs. I needed to continue to practice with it to ensure I was completely in control of the blade, but I had confidence in my abilities. Ready? I asked my companions.
Yes.
Kaas nodded.
Lead the way, Wrath.
Asta smiled. The girls and I grabbed hands, and I nodded to each of them before I stepped through the portal. It wasn't the first time we'd gone through one of them, but the feeling of being whooshed through thin air wasn't something I thought I'd ever get used to. I felt Bla clench tighter on my shoulders as the air whirred around us, but just as quickly as it had come on, it stopped. I opened my eyes to reveal we were back in Asgard, but not in the same spot we'd left from. I couldn't be positive, but I thought we were at least a few miles away from the city. It was afternoon already, and the sun was high in the blue sky above the woods we were currently in.
Where are we?
Asta asked, and her yellow eyes glanced around curiously.
Let's see.
Kaas said, and she pulled her enchanted map out of her bag.
What does it say?
The elf girl asked as she peered over Kaas's shoulder.
We're about 5 miles away from the city. We need to head south. Do you think we can make it back home before nightfall?
Not sure, I answered. I glanced around us once more, and that was when I saw a mark on one of the trees nearby. It was a red triangle, and my heart started to race inside my chest.
Wrath, what are you staring at? Wait, what's that marking there?
Asta murmured as she narrowed her yellow eyes at the symbol. We need to get out of here.
What's going on?
Kaas asked as I grabbed her and Asta by the arms and yanked them along. We're in enemy territory, I explained. I knew that symbol. It was from one of the tribes that lived on the outskirts of Asgard, and they resented Odin and his teachings. My warband and I had fought one of their groups before, and they were fierce warriors. I pulled the girls through the woods, but suddenly something flew right in front of my face and forced me to a halt. I turned to my left to see a dagger stuck in the tree. It was very clearly aimed for my head, and that meant we'd already been spotted. Fuck! Get behind me! I quickly drew my sword from its sheath and took a step in front of the girls. Bla growled as he climbed onto only one of my shoulders and poised himself to attack. He was ready to go on my command, but I held my ground. The enemy knew we were aware of their presence now, and they had two choices. They could try and throw another weapon which we'd see coming, or they could come out and fight like men. I knew these people, though, and I had a feeling they would choose the latter. I only hoped it wasn't a large group of them. The girls and I were well trained, but if it was a battle of 20 against the three of us plus the dragons, then I wasn't sure we'd make it out without a scratch. I knew we would still win, but there was more risk somebody would get hurt. I stared at the trees across from us until one soldier stepped out. He was a tall, tan male, and he wore deep brown pants with a red tunic on top. He didn't have a chest plate on, only some arm guards, but he had a long straight sword in his hand and a threatening look on his face, and under his eyes were two red smears I presumed were blood. After the first male revealed himself, four others stepped out of the woods. They all wore similar outfits, and each had some sort of red smear on their face. One man had it on his forehead, another bore two across his chin. I realized, then, the man on the far right, the largest of them all, held a deer over his shoulder, and I watched as he dropped it on the ground, bent his neck from side to side to crack it, and gripped his sword. It was obvious we'd interrupted a hunting party, but at least that meant it was 5 against 3, or 5 against 6 if I counted the dragons. Girls, I said quietly, and I stepped in front of them, to the right. I'll handle him. I'd trained the girls myself, so I was confident they would be capable of taking him out, but I wasn't about to let them try it alone. The guy was huge, probably twice my size and weight, and he looked mean. A large scar ran from his jaw down to his exposed clavicle bone, and when I made eye contact with him, he let out a low, almost inhuman growl.
"We've got the other 4, then,"
Cass said, and she pulled her sword from its sheath. The large blade was enchanted to fit into a small sheath, and it grew as she yanked it out. The purple sheen of the steel matched her eyes, and she whipped the sword out in front of her and took a fighting stance.
"Yes,"
Asta agreed with a sweet smile.
"We'll take care of them."
The elf girl pulled out her blade, and at the same time she cast a rain spell over top of it. Then the small sword turned into an axe, and she twirled it around her hand before taking her stance as well. "We'll see," I chuckled. I figured I could probably take out the big guy before the girls finished off the other 4, and if that was the case, then I'd probably jump in to help them. They seemed pretty excited, though, so if they looked like they had it covered, then I might allow them to continue on without me. But first, I needed to take out the mean-looking son of a bitch at the end. I nodded to Blah on my shoulder, and the little dragon narrowed his blue eyes and nodded back at me. "Let's go!" I shouted, and I lunged forward and took off running toward the man at the end. The girls let out fierce, high-pitched war cries behind me, and the enemy followed suit before they ran toward the girls. I wanted to glance back and make sure my women were okay, but the big male was headed right for me, and I needed to focus on him. Blah held on tightly to my shoulder as we ran, but just before we got to the guy, he dove forward and let out a huge blast of blue fire. The male was caught off guard, I assumed partially because it appeared to him as though a dog was riding on my shoulder, but more so because of the fire that had just blasted in front of his face. The blue flames crackled through the air, and the man cried out as he raised his arm and crossed them in front of his face to shield himself. I took the opportunity to jump through the flames and bring my sword down from above. The male was smart, though, and he glanced up at the last second and managed to dodge out of the way, so I landed where he'd just been. The large brute let out a growl that turned into a yell as he ran toward me once more, but I was quick, and I yanked my blade out of the ground and swung it low so it was aimed for his shins. Oh, this guy apparently had some intelligence to go with his brute strength, though, because he saw my attack coming and jumped over it just in time. I turned my head to him and smiled. It was nice to have a worthy opponent. Blah landed next to me then, and I gestured for the little creature to fly up and wait for my signal. The enemy looked at Blah curiously, but I could tell his confusion wouldn't deter him. Instead, he raised his large sword above his head and brought it down with the intention to split me in two. I used my own sword to block his attack, and when he pulled his away and then brought it back, I did the same. The metal clashed together violently and created a deafening ringing sound that made my teeth rattle. Blah was to my right, so I glanced over to where he hovered in the sky and gave him a slight nod. Then the little beast dove down and scratched the guy across the back. I thought that would deter my enemy somewhat, but it seemed I was wrong, because it only made him angrier. He let out a screech of pain when Blah ran his talons across him, but then he clenched his teeth, looked me in the eye, and shoved into me. I lost my footing on a rock behind me, and the guy went tumbling over me. He grabbed a hold of my sword as we rolled across the ground, and when I finally flung him off me, he got to his feet, smiled at me, and held up 2 blades, mine and his own. He thought he had me, then. Who could fight without a sword, after all? I smirked back at him as I held my hand out, and I made eye contact with the guy as Blah breathed a huge blue flame over my hand. My sword appeared back in my palm a split second later, and my opponent looked down at his now empty hand with a dumbfounded expression. His confusion was his downfall. I quickly tossed my blade up and caught the handle underneath so I could throw it like a spear. The large sword went straight into the warrior's chest and pinned him against a tree. He looked at me with his dark-colored eyes, but then blood began to ooze out of his mouth as the light behind his eyes dimmed. His sword slowly slipped out of his hand, and I sauntered over to him with a grin on my face. "Well, it was a pleasure being your opponent," I said, before I grabbed my sword and ripped it out of the man. Blood spilled from his wound like a crimson waterfall, and he collapsed onto the ground. I heard the clanking of metal then, and I remembered the girls were still in battle, so I twirled around to help them. Just as I turned round, though, I saw a man fall to the ground with his throat cut open and spurting blood. Above him was Asta, and the beautiful elf smiled at me sweetly. There was a streak of blood across her face and body, and some had even made it into her long white hair. But still, she looked as innocent as ever.
"We're done,"
Kaas said with a grin, and she walked up to stand next to the elf girl. The sorceress was also covered with blood, but far more than Asta. Kaas was nearly drenched, and I had to take a second look to make sure I was seeing her correctly. There was blood all over her clothes, and several streaks across her face and neck. "What happened to you?" I asked, and I could feel my eyes widen with concern.
"What do you mean?"
she asked, but then she followed my eyeline and looked down at her tunic.
"Oh, Kaas fought very well."
"Ooh, I can see that." I chuckled as I did a quick once-over on the sorceress.
"I may have gotten a little bit carried away,"
she said, and she bit her lip. I walked over to the girls then and looked at the bodies on the ground. I could very quickly and very clearly tell the difference between their kills. I'd seen the man with his throat slit go down, but there was also another male who bore one confident and well-placed stab through the heart and nothing else. Those both had to be Asta's kills. Her fighting style matched her bubbly personality. She wasn't messy and brutal. She was accurate and eloquent, unlike my beautiful strawberry blonde companion. Kaas's kills were incredibly gory, and I had to chuckle as I looked down at the dead men. One was missing his right forearm and his left leg from the knee down, and there was also a huge hole in his stomach. The other male bore a large gash down his chest, but what had killed him was the fact his head had nearly been taken clean off his body. It was no wonder the sorceress was covered in blood. Seeing her kills, it was a miracle there wasn't more blood on her.
"What are you laughing at?"
Nothing, I said with a smile. "I love both of you so much."
"As you should."
Kaas laughed, and Asta nodded as she smiled. Ufe walked up to me then, turned to glare at Kaas, and shook himself off. Blood splattered all around, and I couldn't help but laugh again. Even her dragon companion thought that was far too much blood.
"Ufe!"
Kaas squealed, and she shielded herself from the blood splatter.
"I do not think that will help the situation."
Kaas said nothing. She just shot a glare in Asta's direction before she sheathed her weapon, lifted her chin, and pointed to the south.
"Home is that way,"
she said, and she walked off in a playful huff. I shook my head at the strawberry blonde. She was gorgeous, but she was ruthless as well, and in a battle like the one we just were in, where she didn't have a lot of time to prepare spells, she was a beast with her massive blade. I'd seen her when we'd gone against the Jotun. The frost giants were twice her size, but she'd still managed to do some serious damage to our enemies. The great sword she wielded now was even more effective than the one her mother had given her. This one was specially made for her, so it was incredibly light, It also shrank down to a smaller blade when she wielded it with only one hand, and it grew even smaller still when she put it away on her hip. The massive sword was perfect for her, and I'd noticed that her form was even better since she didn't have to put so much effort into holding the blade steady. Her mother had left her a grand sword, but it wasn't practical for the small half-Valkyrie woman. As the girls and I walked back toward home, the day flew by, and before I knew it, the sun was dripping down into the trees. The terrain we were in was mountainous, and much more difficult to navigate than I'd anticipated. It would probably take us another day before we arrived back home. I smiled at the thought of home. What used to be my sanctuary had now become a place for the girls and I to call our own. I'd never intended for anyone else to live there with me. It had been a place just for myself. I'd lived there on my own for years, with only the occasional visitor to speak of, and I certainly had never thought about two women living with me. Granted, I always let my female companions stay the night, and I would even make breakfast for them in the morning, but I never considered anyone would want to stay with me for longer than one or two nights at a time. I was an orphan, and I didn't have any family lineage to impress anyone with. Most Asgardians were hung up on family lines and what they meant, and I suspected Kaz was only the way she was because her father was such a unique man. Her mother was a Valkyrie, and her father was Asgardian, so the two of them were never truly meant to be together in the first place. It wasn't against any sort of rules or anything, but it wasn't a very popular thing to do. Part of me thought Kaz understood the way I felt, because she'd felt the same way many times in her own life. We were similar in that sense, and I appreciated the strawberry blonde for who she was and what she'd gone through. I wasn't sure about Asta and her family, as far as lineage went, but she loved me, and I loved her. That was really all that mattered to the both of us. She'd been in a bad spot when we'd found her, and ever since we saved her, the three of us had all bonded well together. I'd been with Kaz before Asta showed up, and was concerned Kaz wouldn't appreciate another woman being around. But the strawberry blonde seemed to welcome the elf girl with open arms. Kaz had even told me to go to Asta to fulfill her needs, which wasn't something I thought she would have been okay with. Now we all lived in the small home I'd built for myself, and I was starting to think I might need to add on a little bit to make it roomier for us. The girls and I could do just fine with how small it was at the moment, but with the three dragons I was sure it was going to get cramped sometime soon. Blah was only a month or so old, and he'd already just about doubled his initial size. I knew he would get big, and it was only a matter of time until that understanding became a reality. Let's stop here for the night, I said, as I stopped in a mostly flat clearing surrounded by trees.
I was thinking that too,
Kaz said with a nod.
It's getting late now. I guess we won't make it back before nightfall.
Asta frowned. I'm afraid not. We're probably at least another day's journey out of town.
I figured the same thing.
Blah walked over to me and nudged my leg, and then he looked at the satchel slung over my shoulder. He was hungry. All right, I'll go find us something to eat. So why don't you two build us a fire for the night?
Okay.
Kaz nodded.
Are you sure you don't want any help?
Yeah, I'm sure, I said, and then I frowned at her still bloody clothes. You might want to see if there's a spell to help clean you up, though.
Oh, right.
The sorceress muttered as she glanced down at her blood-stained garments.
I had almost forgotten about that. I can help you.
Asta offered with a sweet smile.
I can make some rain for you to wash off in. Let's see if we can find a different spell before we resort to me taking a bath in the middle of nowhere. But thank you, Asta. Of course. I'll work on the fire while you look through your spell book.
The two were such opposites. Kaz was responsible and slightly uptight, except for on the battlefield. Asta, however, was constantly chipper and optimistic. The elf girl was able to go with the flow, while the sorceress was one to try and plan out every detail. They complemented each other well. "Stay with Kaas and Asta," I told the dragons. "I'll be right back." Blah narrowed his large blue eyes at me before he stomped his front feet on the ground. "Fine," I said with a smile. "You can go." The little blue dragon smiled up at me, and I shook my head, and led us through some nearby trees to search for something to eat. It was getting dark out, so I knew I couldn't take too long to gather us some food, or I risked being out in the wilderness, alone, in the dark. Fighting against other men was one thing, but wild animals were another. I didn't want to have to deal with that, not after everything I'd just gone through. Taking out those outsiders had been a blip on my radar. My main concern at the moment was what Nidhogg, the huge black dragon, told me. He said I'd need to find the man who was responsible for getting the dragons banned from Asgard. But from what the council told me about Vinrar, I didn't think I ever wanted to meet him. Apparently he'd trained a lot of dragons in his day, but he used cruel and unusual techniques to do so. Finally, the dragons grew tired of him, and they attacked. Then the giant creatures unleashed havoc on the world of Asgard, so Odin banished them from our realm forevermore. I understood why Odin had done it. The dragons were a threat at that point, and one that couldn't be controlled. The creatures had been mistreated, and he knew such by then, but unfortunately nothing could be done. If Odin had allowed them to stay, then there was a large possibility they would attack again. Even though they'd been driven to violence, that no longer mattered. Odin needed to keep his people safe. Still, I didn't like it. The dragons were punished for the wrongdoings of a madman, and now they had a vicious and undeserved reputation in Asgard. Most citizens would never think of a dragon as anything other than a killing machine. That was what the council and I were trying to change, but it would take time. We needed to show Odin Blah first, but now I had this message from Nidhogg that I needed to deal with as well. I glanced around at the trees I'd come to and saw a nest up above me in one of the branches. I surveyed the area for a moment, but I didn't see anything, so I pointed out the nest to Blah and had him fly up to retrieve the eggs. He dropped them down to me, one by one. They were good size, about the size of my fist, and they'd make a decent addition to dinner. I wandered around for a little while longer and found some wild herbs, berries, and some wild vegetables. I wasn't sure what they were called, but they were dark, leafy greens, and I'd eaten them plenty of times when I'd been out in the woods on my own. After I'd finished gathering everything for dinner, I made my way back the way I had come. Blah flew ahead of me, and he kept a steady pace. He was clearly happy to have some room to play, and I suspected there would be a game or two of wrestling with the twins once we got back to camp. I could smell the fire before I broke the tree line. It wasn't fully dark out yet, and as I walked over to the flames the girls had built, I could see Kaas and Asta had cleaned themselves up. "Oh, I see you found a spell," I smirked.
"And I see you found dinner,"
Kaas said with a grin. "I have." I chuckled and I pulled out the berries and set them down. "Everyone can snack on these while I prepare our meal."
"Oh, thank you very much,"
Asta told me as she reached for a berry.
"We are lucky to have a male to take such good care of us."
"I'm lucky to have you, too." I winked at the elf girl, and she blushed prettily under my gaze.
"Now that you're back, though, we need to talk."
"Oh, what is it?"
"Nidhogg,"
the strawberry blonde said as if it were obvious.
"Helheim, all of it. What are we going to do? We have to go,"
Asta said, but then she looked from Kaas to me.
"Don't we?"
"I believe so," I said with a nod.
"Helheim is the worst place we could possibly go to."
Kaas frowned.
"I don't know how we'll protect ourselves there. Can't we find a spell to do it?"
Asta asked, and she bit her lip.
"We can try,"
Kaas shrugged.
"But it won't be an easy one, and it will take a lot of power." Between the two of us, I know we can do it. We're incredibly strong, especially together. Svendorf did say the steel we enchanted was the best he'd ever seen.
Kaas mused, as she referred to the blacksmith who had made our weapons.
He did?
Asta said with a smile.
I need to look up some protection spells.
Kaas said, and she pulled out her spell book and began to flip through it.
I can help too.
Asta said, and she looked over Kaas's shoulder.
My nature magic can be really powerful when it comes to protection. Good, that's what we need.
Kaas muttered as she got to work. I tried to pay attention to the girl's conversation after that, but I was still reeling from what had happened earlier. Everything with the enemy outsiders had distracted me, but the more I thought about what Nidhugg had said, the more confused and frustrated I became. Was he trying to tell me to find Vinrar because he thought I was like him? It was true. I was the only other person who could train dragons, at least that I knew of. But that didn't mean he and I were anything alike. The things Vinrar did made me sick to my stomach, and I couldn't imagine how I needed him for anything to be able to save the dragons. The man was a monster, and if I saw him, I wasn't sure I'd be able to stop myself from killing him. It was better than he deserved to be in Helheim, but I still didn't have a way to get there. The place was massive, and it would start to drain the joy out of us as soon as we arrived. It wouldn't be long until we would no longer be able to feel joy at all, even after we left. Kaas might be able to find us a protection spell to get us there, but we couldn't risk going through a random portal that popped us out somewhere in the vast wasteland where the dead roamed. No, we needed to be able to get to Vinrar within a couple of hours at least. I wasn't sure how long Kaas's spell would last, but I couldn't imagine it could last much longer than that, not in a place like Helheim. The entire realm was enchanted, and even with her and Asta's powers combined, I wasn't sure we could compete with that. I thought about Blah, then, and how he was able to distinguish the portals from one another. He could tell us where each one went, and just recently he'd shown us he was able to teleport in space. I wondered if I could teach him to hone his teleportation abilities and create portals. There was no guarantee I could, but it was worth a try, in my opinion. Otherwise, we would have to try and wait for a portal to Helheim to open up. Well, that could take months, and even after one opened, there was no guarantee it would take us to where we needed to go. I didn't have that kind of time to waste, and I didn't have any other ideas. The Bifrost was off the table, since its use was kept track of and reported, and Odin couldn't know about my abilities or companions just yet. So, I'd have to try and get Blah to harness his capabilities and put them to good use making portals. That would make things a lot easier in general. The girls and I traveled a lot, and if we didn't have to wait for a portal to open up, then we would have a lot more freedom when it came to where and when we traveled. I had to figure out the prophecy Nidhugg had talked about, too. He'd told me I was going to fulfill the prophecy and save the dragons, but I'd never heard of any prophecy involving dragons. Granted, that wasn't surprising, considering Odin had virtually removed all traces of dragons, including literature about them, when he banished them. I needed to figure out what this all meant, and in order to do that, I would need to talk to the Council. They were the ones who'd originally told us about Vinrar, and though I'd been skeptical to trust them at first, I knew now they were on my side. They wanted the same thing I did, to protect the dragons, put an end to the dragon slave trade in other realms, and bring dragons back to Asgard. The Council needed to know about this experience I'd had with Nidhugg, and I needed to ask them some questions about it. If anybody knew about this prophecy, I had a feeling it might be them. Well, them, or Kaas's father, Ramir. The old man knew far more than he should about a lot of things, and that included dragons. I felt a nudge against my leg, and looked down to see Blah sitting on the ground next to me. The little blue dragon stared up at me with wide eyes of concern, and once he had my attention, he nudged me again, by butting his little head against my shinbone. I smiled at Bla, but then I felt something hit my other leg, and I looked over to see Inga and Ufe. The twins sat next to each other and leaned against one another. Inga looked sweet, with a small pink ribbon tied round her neck, and Ufe seemed worried as he stared at me with his large purple eyes. Bla butted his horns against my leg once again, this time harder than the last time. "It's okay," I told him with a smile, and I reached down to scratch under his chin. "I'm okay." Ufe hit my leg again, and I reached over and petted him too. Inga was jealous, though, and she let out little cooing noises as she pushed her head under my hand, so that she could get some pets as well.
"Is everything okay over there?"
Kaas asked. I looked across the fire to see the sorceress and the elf girl staring at me with matching expressions of worry. Kaas's violet eyes bored into me, and she had a heavy frown on her face as she cocked her head to the side with curiosity. Asta's yellow eyes sat above a small, sympathetic smile, and the elf girl watched me carefully, like she thought I might burst into tears at any second. I'm fine.
Are you sure? The dragons don't seem to think so. You must be overwhelmed by all of this. Certainly anybody would be.
I am a bit overwhelmed. I'm not sure what to make of this prophecy.
We'll have to do some digging to figure out what it is.
We need to talk to the council.
I agree.
Asta added with a nod.
They should know.
Oh, then it's settled. We'll speak to the council as soon as we get back into town. The council already knew about Bla and the twins, and we'd come to an understanding. We were on the same team, but now, all I could do was hope they knew what this prophecy meant, and hope I could fulfill it, whatever it was.